Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. The one we've truly gathered to worship here in this place this morning. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He came back from the dead, and he lives forevermore. And because he lives, we can live also. Praise his name. The title of this morning's meditation is Because He Lives. As you Bible scholars read through the scriptures, you become repeatedly aware of how important the resurrection is to we as Christians, how foundational it is. If Jesus was not risen, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that the whole foundation of the Christian life, our belief and our faith in God, would be taken away. There's a sense in which I feel like I had no new message this morning. Because we look at the resurrection theme and the importance of the resurrection again. But I believe it's important that we do that and that we continue to rejoice and testify as we have opportunity of what Jesus has done for us, all made possible because of his death and resurrection. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I read this chapter again last evening, and was so inspired again as he takes us step by step through the importance of the resurrection. And he concludes and says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Praise the Lord. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us and all mankind who reaches out to Christ the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We look forward to that transformation, that changing from this vile, mortal, corruptible to the eternal, again made possible by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. There are many religions who today worship dead gods. Their gods are dead. Some of their gods are wood and steel and marble and who knows what they're made of. We serve a living God. Because he lives, what is the testimony that is flowing from your and my life because Jesus lives? Is it making a difference in your and my life? Can the people that I work with, can the people that I come in contact with from day to day tell that there is something different about this person, about you? Does your life give testimony that Jesus lives and that he lives in your heart and he has made a difference in your life? Four quick points this morning, because he lives. And we're going to take them. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that's where we'll draw a lot of our thoughts from this morning. Again, I feel like it's no new message, but an important one, one that should inspire us and wake us up and cause us to have a testimony of the change that Jesus of Christ has made in our lives. We move about in society today and we see the heartbreak and the sadness and the need. And that God would work in our hearts, in my heart, to help us to be more vocal, more expressive of what Jesus has done for us and wants to do for them. If you're here this morning and you don't have Jesus in your heart, come to him. Find salvation. He makes a big difference. It's life and death. It's night and day, if you will. Our first point, if Christ be not risen. Let's just go back to the early part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and hear the Apostle Paul teach us in verses 12 through 19. 1 Corinthians 15, begin at verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain also. Your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We'll just continue reading there for now at least. And so we see how the Apostle Paul so pointedly helps us to understand, at least in a limited way, what our fate would be if Christ be not risen. If Christ would have not risen from the dead. You know, Christ's enemies thought they had gained a victory when they nailed him to the cross. The one criminal hanging by him railed on him. And as I read that account again, the difference between those two thieves that hung there on the cross, one on either side of Jesus, one railed on him, the other pled for mercy. He reminded the other one that we're here because we deserve to be here, but this man did no wrong. And we believe that even today, 2,000 years later, as we calculate time, where those two thieves are, time is not calculated by hours and days and years. His torment, the one who is forever separated from God, goes on today, 2,000 years as we calculate time. But for him, it's endless. There's no hope in view. There's no end to his misery in sight. The other one heard those welcome words, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And he continues to enjoy that new relationship and that bliss that he is experiencing, which has no end, will have no end, because of choices that they made and because Jesus rose from the dead, he can experience that. But if Christ be not risen, if when they took Christ off the cross and they placed him in that grave, that's where Christ would still be today, the other criminal would not have then been with Jesus in paradise. The resurrection was so important. If Christ be not risen, so we see that. Number one, under this point, if Christ be not risen, our faith is vain. We saw that in verse 14. Our preaching would be vain and our faith is vain. You know, really, this morning, that's how important the resurrection is to the child of God. It's the whole foundation of Jesus and what he has done in our hearts, life, and experience. And so this morning, I might as well just sit down and be quiet. If Christ be not risen, our preaching's vain. It's foundationless. Our preaching, our teaching, our living for Jesus, for God, is built on our belief that Jesus rose from the dead. And also in verse 14, it says our faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. Our faith is vain. Under this point, if Christ be not risen, we are found false witnesses. Verse 15. We are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Simple teaching, easy for us to understand. Our whole faith in God and the Lord Jesus would be just taken away if Christ would not be risen. But now is Christ risen? He has been raised from the dead. If Christ be not risen, point number three, we are yet in our sins. Jesus went to the cross, allowed his blood to be shed for the sins of the entire world, and he rose again for our justification. For our salvation, it's in that that we have hope. We are yet in our sins. Someone has said a dead redeemer is no redeemer. A dead redeemer is no redeemer. But our redeemer is alive. And because he is alive, we have newness of life. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 reminds us that he was raised for our justification. We have justification in our experience as we come to the Lord Jesus, we confess our sins and we come before him in penitence. And he comes into our hearts and we are justified just as though we had never sinned. Definition of justification. We are justified by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, Romans 4, 25. Romans 5 and verse 10, we are reconciled through his, we've been reconciled through his resurrection, and we shall be saved by his life. That's Romans 5 and verse 10. And so if Jesus be not risen, we would yet be in our sins. If Christ be not risen, point number four, those that fallen asleep in Jesus are perished. You know, we gather around the grave of a deceased loved one, someone who has passed from this life. And in what is it that we find hope? It's in the hope of the resurrection. And the only reason that we can have hope of the resurrection is because we believe that Jesus, first of all, was the first fruits of them that slept. Jesus, first of all, rose from the dead, and it's in him that we have that hope. If Christ had not been victorious over death, we would be hopeless here this morning. We would be in misery. It says we would be of all men most miserable. We would be just like everyone else out there. That's not sure why they're living or where they're going or what the future holds. But in Christ this morning, the child of God has hope. If Christ be not risen. Well, I am glad this morning this first point can just have a big X put right across it. If Christ be not risen, because Christ is risen. That's our second point. But now is Christ risen. But now is Christ risen. First Corinthians chapter 15, I'll read verses 3 through 8. For I delivered unto you, first of all, verse 3, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. And so we have the clear testimony. One of the brethren mentioned already this morning, I believe Brother Merle mentioned, that when you have the testimony of someone who has witnessed something themselves, we don't tend to question that testimony. And Jesus was seen of so many people after his death. And that he truly was alive. We'll just turn to a few of them to bear up that point this morning. Going back to the Gospels, just quickly. Matthew chapter 28. Read a few verses there. Just love to read the Gospels and allow them to become alive and try to walk with Jesus and his disciples and what was unfolding back then. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Can you imagine being there with those people? Just a couple of days ago, they saw their loving Lord Jesus, their master, their teacher, nailed to the cross. And he gave up the ghost and he died. And now it's all over. It's all over. And then they get to witness him alive. There's a sense in which they should not have been surprised, because he had told them that this is how it would be, that he would rise again from the dead. But how could you process all that? These are miraculous things that are happening. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. I don't want to tire you with reading a lot this morning. May it inspire us. It's God's word speaking to us. Luke chapter 24, 36 to 48. Verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. And see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. They were witnesses of this miraculous event. And they testify to us today. And because it is written in the scriptures, we believe it. By faith we believe it to be so. Just a few pages later in your Bibles, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, we have these few simple words. Verse 3 of Acts 1, To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus rose from the dead, and then he spent approximately 40 days with his disciples here on this earth. And he was seen by lots and lots of people, and he taught them many things. And just a little later in Acts chapter 1, while he was with his disciples, suddenly he began to lift up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. But many had seen and testified of his presence. Jesus is alive. He is alive. We'll just notice a few readings here in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, 23 through 31. Beautiful account. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. It was not possible that death should hold Jesus captive. Verse 25, For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast known me, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Testifying of the resurrection of Jesus, chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Many witnesses. I have a couple more references here. Just like to pick up on the one that reminds us that he was seen of 500 at one time. Let's see what we have here in Acts chapter 10, 39 to 41. Some more witnesses, Acts 10, 39. We are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to those who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Chapter 17, verse 2 and 3. And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must need have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. I thought I had it written down here somewhere, but somewhere it refers to the fact that he was seen of 500 at once. And so Jesus, according to the Scriptures, according to the Gospels, according to the Apostles' teaching, did rise from the dead. Now is Christ risen? Is that testimony flowing from mine and your life this morning? The greatest proof this morning that Jesus is alive, the greatest testimony and proof of that is the testimony that flows from the life of the child of God, of what he has done for my soul, what he has done for your souls this morning. How much does it mean to you that you have been delivered from the bondage of sin, and that you have hope of eternal life? Is it bringing a smile to your face and joy to your experience, to the extent to which a testimony is flowing from your life? We need to be lights and testimonies, a salt to the earth, because of what Christ has done for us. Are you a living testimony of that? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. And it goes on and tells us, and reminds us, and we testify that the proof of it is that he lives in our hearts. Our third point this morning, because he lives, is risen with Christ. Are you risen with Christ? In order to be risen with Christ this morning, we first of all must die with him. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Crucified with Christ. If you're alive in Christ this morning, it's because you died to self, forsook sin, confessed your sins, found forgiveness of sin, and you have Jesus in your heart. Risen with Christ. Let's go to Romans again. Romans chapter 6. I believe that's where it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Yes, that's Romans 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How shall we that are turned from sin, living lives of holiness, continue to live in sin? Logic. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We no longer serve sin and self. We live for God. We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And so we are buried with him in death. But we are raised with him to newness of life. Praise his name. Just a couple pages later, a very familiar verse, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can you testify this morning that you by faith really believe that Jesus rose from the dead? It's part of the witness and testimony that needs to flow from our tongue, from our hearts, that we believe Jesus was raised from the dead. John chapter 14, 19, verse 19 reminds us, where he says, Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. John 11, 25, though he was dead, yet shall he live. These are things Jesus was telling his disciples beforehand, but it was hard for them to comprehend how this was all going to be. And so then after the events unfolded, they reflected back, and we have the benefit of looking at the whole picture and are able to see what was unfolding and what Jesus was accomplishing in behalf of all humankind. We have the familiar verses in Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He has quickened us. He has made us alive, alone possible through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have the familiar verses in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. All because of the resurrection. But we need to die to self. We need to be buried with him and die to self, that we can rise to newness of life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The only reason we can have that hope this morning is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Point number 4. If you believe Christ is alive, live your testimony. Live your testimony. The greatest testimony that can go forth into a needy world today is a testimony, yes, by your lips, but by your life and by your actions, that you are alive in Christ, you believe in Christ, that he is a living Savior. He has cleansed you and made you one of his disciples. You are a follower of his. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians 15 again, verses 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For God so loved the world that whosoever, all inclusive, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we want to testify of what Jesus has done for us. Testify to those that God brings into our lives. How about the people that live with you in your household? Husbands, wives? Is it apparent? Is it obvious that your partner, who we trust is a professing Christian, has the life of Christ within him, that he believes in the resurrection power of Jesus and has made a difference in his or her life. That testimony ought to be clear, flowing from the child of God. Do our children see that in us as parents, grandparents? Do our siblings see that in us, those of us who have made a commitment to Christ? Live as though Christ is in your life, that he is alive in your experience. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This same Jesus, which just a couple of days ago we meditated and thought about his crucifixion, the cruel death that he experienced. But today we with joy and jubilance rejoice in his resurrection power. And he burst forth from the dead. Burst forth from the grave. And he is alive forevermore. And because he lives, we live. We have hope. We have joy today. But we have joy eternal awaiting us. We look forward to that great deliverance that will be ours. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. Those closing two verses should inspire us to go forth from this place with joy in our hearts. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the encouragement, therefore, my beloved brethren and sisters, be steadfast, unmovable, uncompromising. Don't be bashful about what God has done for you. Don't be bashful about it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Testify for what Christ has done for you in this coming week. Ask people tomorrow whether they were able to make it to church yesterday and what Christ has done for you. Express the joy of the Lord. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, and we know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. And he lives in my heart. He lives in your hearts. It has made a difference in your life. Go out and help it make a difference in the lives of others. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.